It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell, in for Rob Ferret. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, find out what a common plant from Georgia has to do with Wisconsin's place in the Civil War.
First, we're a day away from Congress's spending bill deadline. It's our weekly look at what our lawmakers are up to in Washington with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer.
Right now, it appears that the House and the Senate have reached an agreement on spending for the coming year, and that means they'll be able to avoid a holiday government shutdown. But what is in this $1 trillion bill?
And all eyes were on Senator Dianne Feinstein yesterday as the Senate Intelligence Committee released a CIA torture report. We'll find out what's included in the report and how it's caused controversy and raised questions.
Lots of news coming out of Congress. If you've got any questions or thoughts, you can give us a ring at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Paul Singer joins us every week at this time. Paul, how are you?
I'm good, Veronica. How you doing?
Doing fine, thanks. Well, we've got a big news day today, starting actually yesterday with the release of the Senate Intelligence's CIA torture report. Looking at that one, what did you expect coming out of that, and how has it gone over?
Well, you know, I think I on Twitter might have mentioned I got to write the ugliest story I've ever written in my 30-year journalism career, basically summarizing some of the more shocking disclosures in that report. And what we expected, I think, was that they would put out a report explaining that, you know, as the CIA has admitted, they were waterboarding prisoners, which is basically a simulated torture, and it was probably outside the bounds of, well, there's a question about whether it was within the bounds or not within the bounds of what legal guidance provided by the Bush administration had been. What this report did is actually went into some fairly excruciating detail of even more dramatic treatment of prisoners in dozens of cases. I mean, stuff that is real sort of, you know, Lord of the Flies brutality. And I think it shocked everybody. It obviously looks very bad for the CIA. And I think the part that is worst is the committee, and this is largely the Democrats on the committee behind this report, by the way, said essentially that the CIA has been lying to the White House and to everybody else who would have been able to oversee the treatment of detainees, and they've been lying about this for quite a while, and I think that was the part that was really sort of stunning, the suggestion that, you know, nobody briefed President Bush on these enhanced interrogation techniques until 2006 is the allegation in the report. It's kind of shocking.
As you say, it's a pretty damaging view from this report of the CIA and causing a lot of controversy, a lot of response. How is the agency, though, dealing with the release the day after?
Well, they put out a statement that said basically, look, there were clearly some bad actors in this operation. We did things that we're not proud of, we shouldn't have done. That's all, I think, pretty much on the table. But they dispute pretty vigorously the notion that they were lying about what they were doing. I think the most important provision for them is they say ultimately this enhanced interrogation techniques in the immediate wake of the September 11th 2001 terrorist attacks generated good leads and prevented other terrorist attacks and has helped keep America safe. Where the committee in its report said flat out, basically, we got no good intelligence out of this. That people who have been chained to a wall for 50 hours in a row and deprived of sleep do not provide better intelligence and information than a detainee who has been treated with some respect and has been, you know, rested and fed.
And what kinds of aftershocks are you seeing on Capitol Hill the day after this was released, not just from the CIA, but how are Democrats and Republicans responding?
Well, it's a bit of a mixed bag. In some degree, Congress is busy wrapping up its work on the spending bill and wants to get out of town. And second of all, because so much of this report is so vile, people don't really want to get their hands dirty in it. Senator Mark Udall from Colorado, who is outgoing senator, he lost his reelection bid, took to the floor and gave a very passionate speech today saying basically heads should roll, that President Obama needs to purge from his ranks people in the administration who knew about this behavior and allowed it to go on. Udall has been very, very critical of the CIA for years on this topic and has been basically a big agitator in getting this information out in the public. Republicans, by and large, have risen to the fence of the agency, have said once again that, you know, they think the intelligence did provide some useful leads, and basically that they think this is just an opportunity for Democrats to throw rocks at the Bush administration one more time. Again, the report was issued by the Intelligence Committee, but it was really by the Democrats on the Intelligence Committee. There was a bipartisan vote. A couple of Republicans did support releasing this information, but a number of Republicans have said they felt that the report was badly written. It was unfair to the agency. It didn't interview any live people at the CIA. They worked entirely off documents, and they basically say it was a partisan witch hunt.
Now, from what we understand, a lot of these advanced interrogation techniques were done away with when President Obama came into office. So, So given that, is there any legislation that's likely to follow these reports?
No, I don't think so. I mean, as you said, you know, one of the first things President Obama did was issue an executive order outlawing or banning these torture techniques. The Justice Department, interestingly, said yesterday that they have previously looked at these matters for the possible criminal investigation, and they've declined to investigate. Declined to pursue charges. And they said again yesterday that they're not going to reopen these cases because they just don't think there's enough evidence to be able to prove a case. There's not really much for Congress to do at this point, because again, you know, the CIA is not doing this. I mean, I think one of the things that will be important for Congress to do is to take a stronger look at how its own oversight practices are. One of the complaints of the committee is that they were getting bad information and incorrect information and lies, they think, from the CIA. I think you might see some work is going to have to be done to rebuild the relationship between the committees that oversee the CIA and the agency. Obviously, they need to do some dirty work, and they need to do it in secret. The question is, how much secret and what kind of light, what kind of control can Congress exert?
Well, we're speaking right now with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer about the week in Congress. When we come up, we'll be talking about government spending for the coming year and taking a look at what's in that potential bill. Now we keep going with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. He joins us every week at this time to give us the scoop on Congress. And you have a rare opportunity to ask your questions of Paul directly today. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Paul, we'll talk now about the spending bill. Congress has one day to agree on funding the government for the coming fiscal year. What do you think the outlook is on this one?
Well, they're not going to get it done in a day. Or at least, let me rephrase that. I doubt sincerely they're going to get it done in a day. They'll probably have to pass a 1 or 2 day extension just to get them into the weekend. But the House is going to vote tomorrow on this $1 trillion bill that basically funds everything. This is the way Washington works now. It used to be that you would spend most of the summer voting on and marking up and drafting these appropriations bills for each agency, and they would, you know, committees would go through them kind of line by line and say, well, we should do more of this and less of that. That process is broken now entirely. What ends up happening is at the end of the year, or now a couple months after the end of the year, they just grind them all up into one big pile and pass a 1,200-page bill that funds everything. So that's what they're going to do. They've had, who knows what's in the bill. We're all day long, people in various news outlets have been finding bits and pieces of funny little things in here. You know, it'll be a couple of weeks before we figure it out.
Right, so there's a bit of a kitchen sink approach to this.
Yeah.
Based on what we know so far, sounds like there's still a lot of information gathering going on, but does anything jump out at you from this?
Well, a couple things. I mean, I think the thing that is most interesting is they added some new language on campaign donations. I think your news guys were talking about this at the top of the hour, they're basically cutting money out of federal funding for party conventions. And instead, they are expanding the amount of money that individuals can give to major political parties. And expanding, I mean, from like a $30-some-odd thousand limit every year or election cycle now, It'll go up to somewhere closer to $1 million, which means basically you're opening the door for people to write giant checks to the parties. It's just an odd place to do it in the middle of a spending bill.
And as far as, was there more you wanted to share on that?
No. I was like, there's a good example. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff going on at the moment. The biggest fight is Elizabeth Warren trying to get them to remove some provisions that change how derivatives are traded. I don't understand a word of it, but apparently it's a major dust up over the so-called Dodd-Frank law.
Right, and a couple other things I noticed just in doing some preparation for this, that apparently no raise for Vice President Biden.
Yeah, that you had to expect that coming. Yeah,
that's frozen.
And there's also stuff like, you know, they're blocking the recreational marijuana use in Washington D.C. But I'm told that they may at the same time be preventing the Department of Justice from interfering with relaxed marijuana laws elsewhere. So the same bill would do basically two different things. This is what I mean. It'll take a couple of weeks.
Well, what can we expect from negotiations on Homeland Security funding when the new Congress is inaugurated?
Well, it's weird. You know, this bill funds everything through all of next year except for Homeland Security, which it only funds through February. And the idea here is that the new Republican Congress would have an opportunity to get dig its teeth into the president's immigration executive orders. But, you know, the way the president wrote the executive order on immigration, he basically is allowing people who have children who are here, who were born in the United States, illegal immigrants who have children born in the United States, those parents would be able to apply for deferred deportations. Well, the problem is that your application comes with a fee. You have to pay for that. And so that agency that processes all of that doesn't need money from Congress. So it's really hard to figure out how Congress can get in there and monkey around. But they'd like to spend a little more time looking at that and figuring out ways to block that. The Republicans of Congress want to block that order. So they're kicking this off until February, and then they'll get back into it then, because then they'll have to go back to figure out how to fund the Department of Homeland Security, and that's obviously not something they're going to let go to zero.
The Affordable Care Act had been the big controversial piece of legislation that Republicans were motivated about trying to affect or block or roll back somehow. Now it sounds like the executive actions on immigration are the top priority there. But will there be any changes that you see to Affordable Care Act funding?
Well, there's still some stuff in here. They're trying to cut funding to the IRS, which, of course, is responsible for carrying out some of the funding of the Affordable Care Act, some of the tax and subsidy provisions. They are trying to cut funding for Department of Health and Human Services for various implementation portions of Affordable Care Act. So there's still stuff in here. It's not a defunding of the bill by a stretch of imagination. There's also, near as I can tell, and forgive me, I have not read the language on this, but it looks like they are going to try and reopen this debate about how congressional staff get their health care. This is one of those things where, Congress has its own health care plan, basically, which is not all that surprising because your employer probably offers you health care also. But for political reasons, at one point, they wrote into this bill a provision, they wrote into a bill some years ago a provision that barred members of Congress from getting health insurance from Congress. And so they've spent the past several years trying to swim that backwards. It looks like this bill reopens that debate.
And Paul, before we let you go, some interesting news here from the group MoveOn.org, a liberal group. Sounds like they're basically trying to draft Senator Elizabeth Warren into running for president for 2016.
Yes.
I can't really tell if she's expressed any interest at all, but they're going forward with this. What are you seeing there?
Nah, she doesn't want to run for president at the moment. And certainly if Hillary Clinton's going to run, I don't think Elizabeth Warren's going to want to run. And, you know, it would be very difficult. Keep in mind, money is politics these days. And you know, Elizabeth Warren has made it her primary mission to alienate Wall Street. So there goes a good chunk of campaign money, whereas Hillary Clinton does not have that particular problem. I mean, I think the liberals are very concerned that Hillary Clinton, if she is the Democratic front runner, if she is a Democratic candidate, is too corporate for them. She's too close to Wall Street. They want a more progressive candidate, less of an institutionalist, and they think Elizabeth Warren might be their choice. She hasn't expressed any interest in it, but who knows? I mean, if Hillary Clinton drops out or decides not to run, well, then we might have something to talk about.
Right. MoveOn spending about $1 million, so that's something to watch there. And Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good luck, and good luck with the pledge drive.
Thanks a lot. We've been speaking with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. He joins us every week at this time to talk about the latest in Congress.